3. Lucy and I were so tired from our long walk that we crept off to our chamber as soon as decorum allowed. Minutes later, Lucy was slumbering peacefully in her bed, and I gratefully laid my head on my pillow just minutes after closing my journal. Did I fall asleep and dream, or did I imagine it, fully wakened? I cannot be sure. All I remember is that the tall figure with the red eyes from my earlier dream appeared again in my mind, and his voice called to me out of the darkness in a tone that was both adamant and softly entrancing. "My darling, you will soon be mine." I awoke with a gasp, my heart pounding. Why did I continue to have that dream, if a dream it was? What did the words mean? Whose darling was I? I had no idea what time it was. The room was very dark and eerily quiet. I suddenly realized, to my dismay, that I could not hear the sounds of Lucy's gentle respiration. I found a match and struck it, and a sense of dread came over me. Lucy's bed was empty. Worse yet, the key to our chamber was resting in the lock, instead of in its place about my wrist. I leapt from my bed and made a mad dash through the house, but Lucy was nowhere to be found. Moreover, the hall door leading to the outside was no longer locked, as it had been when we retired. Breathlessly, I returned to our chamber, put on my shoes, and, for propriety's sake, fastened a big, heavy shawl about my shoulders with a large safety pin. A quick glance through Lucy's clothing revealed that her dressing gown and all of her dresses were still in their places, which meant that she must have walked out into the night clad only in her thin white nightdress. Horrified, I hurried out into the street to search for her. I flew down the crescent and along the north terrace, looking in every direction for a glimpse of a slight figure dressed in white. It was a cool, windy night, and I shivered as I ran. The moon was bright and full, blinking in and out of view between heavy, driving black clouds. At the edge of the west cliff, I strained my eyes to look across the harbour, worrying that Lucy might have gone up to the beach we liked to frequent in the churchyard on the other side. At first, everything around St. Mary's Church was obscured in shadow, and I could perceive nothing. Then, just as the bells in the church tower struck a single...